In Acts chapter 19, we're going to go to verse 1. And this is what it says. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it happened when Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. As a full gospel church, we believe in the fourfold ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that He is our healer, that He is our baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and He is our returning King that will be returning. This has been a debate for decades and will continue to be so. But I believe today that the fourfold ministry of Jesus Christ is still continuing today, because we have not closed the cover on the book of Acts. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, yes, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is still saving, He's still healing, He's still baptizing in the Holy Spirit, and I'm here today to tell you that Jesus is going to come again. We can say, "Pastor, you have a whole Bible to preach from. Why even discuss faith healing, baptism of the Holy Spirit, or evidence of by speaking in tongues? You could preach salvation, you could preach the love of God, and never have to touch this subject." Number one, if we are unwilling to face or preach a controversial subject, then we need to get out of the business. Because the church is into controversial subjects. Gay marriage, husband and wife, male and female, all these things that are controversial and become more controversial in the world that we live in today, to shut down the message of the gospel. And for I say, for our church here today, we are not going to shut down the message of the truth to the world in which we live today. Number two, because you as my people have the right to hear the full gospel, allowing you to make the decision. What did we say last week? If you turn with me to Romans chapter 10, we're going to go back to that scripture. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. And it should be a scripture that you're getting to be very, very familiar with over the years. But in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, it says this. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you are saved. And let me tell you, you are as saved as you ever will be. Nothing more needs to happen in your life. You now have the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ indwelling within your life, because the Spirit of God has come into your life. But the question is there more? Is there more that is available? And I say to you, yes, today there is much, much more. Saints, don't be content with mediocrity in your Christian walk, and too many are willing to sheep walk their Christian faith right into heaven. If God has something more for me, I want it, and I want to receive it. Let me ask you today, does the church need the power of God, and does it want it today? And the answer is yes, it needs the power of God, but there are too many churches that don't want it. They exclude it. They put God in a box. God can't do this. God can't do that. He won't do this over here, and he won't do that over there. There is no limit to what our God can do. And we rejoice in him forevermore. Turn back with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And you're going to go to verse 4. Acts 1 and verse 4. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, he says this. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me, for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Now, we read this scripture last week. And this is what John the Baptist said in chapter 3, verse 11. "I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." In Acts chapter 1, verse 5, it says this again. "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And in verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Saints, the focus is not on speaking in tongues. Some churches get out of balance on that. The focus is not on speaking in tongues. The focus is on the power from God. Speaking in tongues is only the evidence of this power from on high. And we will get into the benefits of it later on in parts 3 and 4 and 5, whatever. Most denominations group, now listen to me, because this is what you're going to find out from most denominations. Most denominations group the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit together. You will talk to some people, "Do you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" And they will say, "Yes, I received that when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." That they are one and the same. As a full gospel believer, I believe that these events are two separate events in one life. Two separate. Number one, you are saved. When you are saved, you receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Number two, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues after you're saved, and all you got to do is ask for it. "Lord, fill me with your Spirit." If you disagree with me, it's okay. Okay, many do. And I shared that last week. You're not going to hurt my feelings. The reason I am teaching this is because you need to know it. You need to know it, and there's too many churches that they're preaching around the book of Acts. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to speak about it. That all stopped back then. This stopped back then. This over here stopped back then. What do you got left? What do you got left when you do that? As a full gospel preacher, I'm not afraid to preach anything that is in God's Word, and I believe in God's Word is for all of us today. Salvation is the critical step. There's no second class or third class citizens in the kingdom of God. If you're saved, you're saved. So why, as a pastor, do I believe that the indwelling through salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit truly are two separate events in a person's life? Well, you go back to Acts chapter 1 and you look at verse 8. And verse 8 says this, "But you shall receive power." because I believe through the indwelling, we have the comfort, we have the teaching, we have the leading, and we have the guiding of the Holy Spirit. All those things are outlined in John 14 and John 16. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are anointed with power from on high. Your Christian walk today may be evidenced by the fruits of the Spirit, but is it evidenced by power? Is it? If we say it's all one event, then why aren't we walking in the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit today? Because Jesus came, and He left, and the Holy Spirit came. If it's all one event, then why are we not walking in the power of God, sharing the witness and the testimony of Jesus Christ with so many other people that we come in contact with? How many Christians do you meet and think, wow, the power of God is in their life? Think about it just for a moment. When I accepted Jesus Christ, it was a radical change that took place in my life, but He did not make me a preacher. I was still just as quiet as anybody could be in church. I never said a word. And one night I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and He filled me with power, and I have never been the same since. I am witnessing to you as a 70-year-old man, and I feel the strength and the power of God just as strong today, if not stronger, than I was when I was 35. God wants to fill you with that power in your life, the power to witness and to share the gospel. No hesitancy. No hesitancy. In my life, when I preach, I not only want you to hear it, I want you to feel it. I want you to feel the power of God touching your life and the anointing touching your life. How can you preach without the anointing? How can you preach if you don't have the power that is lying within you to share with other people? Hallelujah! Glory to God! He wants to change people's lives. Is that what you want in your life? Then I would say, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Look at me. Turn with me to Mark. And I know it's not in our list today, and the guys may not be able to put it on the overhead. But turn with me to the Great Commission in Mark. And we're going to go to Mark chapter 16. Everybody in the universe, as far as in the religious world, would believe and would acknowledge and would agree that this is the Great Commission. Well, look what the Great Commission says to us today in Mark chapter 16. In verse 14, he says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. Oh, wow. Because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim, preach the gospel to every creature. And look what he says. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Not because God condemns them, but because they condemn themselves, because they reject the word of God. Verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if anything they drink, anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Brother and sister, in 20 and 26, what has changed? What has changed? The church doesn't have the power. That's what it is. Because the church has turned the power off because they're limiting God to what God can do and what God can't do. Our God can do anything. Our God can heal anybody. Our God can deliver anybody. Our God is still baptizing those in the Holy Spirit today. Yeah, amen. Don't limit God. Now, you heard me say last week, there's a lot of you, this is a melting pot. We have Baptists, and we have Methodists, and we have maybe a couple Catholics that are spread throughout. And Carol and I's church, we've always been a melting pot. Everybody's welcome in our church. I've had people that attended our church for years and years and years, and they never believed in the baptism, or they didn't think that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was for them. The speaking in tongues made them feel very, very uncomfortable. But they loved the church. They loved the preaching. They loved the worship. They loved the teaching. That just didn't happen to be a part of their life. Nobody has to sign a paper here in blood that I'm going to receive this and I'm going to speak in other tongues because I believe 100% what you're teaching, Pastor Leo. I am just trying to share the communication with you that over the last 2 or 3 years, there has been many people in our church that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues, and that wasn't their background they came from. Let me tell you, when the Spirit of God touches your life, wells up in your life, and moves through your life, you will be amazed at what God can do, if you allow Him to do it. Do you have to? No, you don't have to. What do we say? You're as saved as you ever will be when you accept and acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. But is there more? We should never be limited. And for those out there that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues, I'm telling you today, God has got more for you. You have not reached the end result yet. What did Paul say? I forget those things that are behind. I keep pressing towards the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Not that I have attained, but I keep pressing. We all need to continue pressing in our faith. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. I believe it's our last scripture till we turn to communion. Luke chapter 11. The next few weeks, we're going to get into the people that say it doesn't happen. What does the scripture say here? What does the scripture say there? Why does it say this? What does it mean? And we're going to get into all that. It's going to be a teaching time to learn and to understand. So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 11, and this is what he says in verse 9. He says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, would you give him a rock?" You might not give him anything, but would you give him a rock? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? And what Jesus is teaching them in the scripture is, would you give him something evil? Would you give them something evil when they have a need in their life? And the answer is, no, you would not do that. If you then, being evil, verse 13, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now think about this in context. Think about this in context. When you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You just said amen. You got that? That meant you agreed with that, okay? When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within your life. Jesus says in His Word, "I will not only be with you, I will be in you." I will be in you. Automatically. The Holy Spirit then, in John chapter 14 through John chapter 16, He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's encouraged you in Galatians chapter 5 to walk in the Spirit and no longer walk in the flesh. And He tells you what the gifts of the Spirit are, or the fruits of the Spirit are. Look what He just said right here. He says in verse 13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give," what? "The Holy Spirit to those who ask Him." If I ask, the Lord will bless me. The Lord wants to bless you with that gift. It's not a hindrance. It's not something to be afraid of. It's not something to be scared of. Some of the most holiest people that I've ever known in my life were filled with the Holy Spirit. There would be tongues, and there would be interpretation tongues in the church. And there needs to be an interpretation. You know me as well as you know probably just about anybody. I've been around here forever. I am just an old farm boy, just a country kid. Nothing special, nothing flashy. I'm not going to lead you out in a boat and sink, put holes in it so you can sink. You can trust that I will not lead you away from God. I'm trying to lead you closer to God. And that's what we should all want.